It wasn't my fault. Okay, it sort of was my fault, because I should have realized that the crow guard who worked for me would be wildly excited about a human celebration called Trickster Night, and want to participate firsthand. First wing? In such an event. I also should have realized they would tell the rest of the crows and other forms of Terra Indigene who lived in the jumble about a human custom of dressing up and putting on masks to try to look scary. In the weeks prior to that actual night, Aggie, Josie, and Eddie Crowguard pestered every human who visited the jumble about how to trickster properly. Choice of costumes, choice of treats, what to say, and what to do. Wayne Grimshaw, Sproing's chief of police, was sparse with details whenever he dropped by to check up on me. Julian Farrow, who owned Lettuce Reed, the village's bookstore, was cautious with his explanations. Paige and Dominique Xavier, on the other hand, gleefully told the crows about their childhood adventures and what they wore when they knocked on neighbors' doors and shouted, "Trick or treat!" After receiving one of Grimshaw's patented grim looks, which turned his blue-gray eyes a steely gray, Paige and Dominique quickly emphasized that playing tricks was not the point of the evening. "It won't be that bad," I had muttered to Inike Xavier one afternoon as we waited by her car for Paige and Dominique to finish explaining a few more details about Trickster Night to my Crowguard employees. "My bookings for the late cabins and the suites in the main house are all adult guests. No children."
"Have you bought enough bags of candy to hand out?"
Inike asked, sounding mildly curious. Mildly curious, coming from a woman who had a tattoo on one thigh that included the words, "I bury trouble," was not to be mistaken for actual mild curiosity. Who was going to come out to the jumble for a piece of hard candy? I asked.
"Pops Davies mentioned that you hadn't come by the general store to pick up the bags of candy he set aside for you. Small chocolate bars."
I blinked. "Chocolate? Really?" Ever since the Great Predation, a terrifying time last year when the elders and elementals swept over the world and seriously thinned the human population as retaliation for the humans' first and last movement starting a war and killing shifter forms of Terra Indigene, some things weren't as readily available as they used to be, and that included small bars of chocolate. I could put out some of the chocolate for my guests and keep a stash for myself for the times when I needed a reward for getting through a difficult day. I made a mental note to call Pops and let him know I was interested in the chocolate so he wouldn't sell it to someone else.
"You're fully booked for the days before and after Trickster Night?"
Inike asked, still sounding mildly curious and calling me back from my distraction by chocolate. "Yes." I had been fully booked for weeks, so I hadn't thought there was anything unusual about these reservations since we were just coming to the end of our peak tourist season and still required a 3-day minimum reservation. But I was catching on that maybe, just maybe, I had done something to earn the look Grimshaw had given me last night when he came over to play pool with Ilya Sanguinati, who was a very yummy-looking vampire, and my attorney.
"So am I," Inike said. "It's unusual to have people specifically booking a 3-day stay midweek to make sure they are here for Trickster Night."
She took pity on me.
"The Jumble's residents are going to have the most amazing costumes."
"They don't need costumes. Most of them..." I finally got it. Aggie, Josie, and Eddie could pass for human unless they got excited and started sprouting black feathers. Robert, call me Cougar Panthera, and Conan Beargard could pass for human if you ignored Conan's excessive body hair and the fact that the boys still had trouble with their teeth. They were getting those sorted out as they spent more time around humans. But the teeth were still an unnerving mix of human and large predator. As for the rest of the jumble's Terra Indigene residents, the between form isn't fully an individual's animal form, and it isn't fully human. And it sure isn't whatever they look like in their true form, which is a form no human gets to see unless the human is the main course for that night's dinner.